They say that knowledge is power. I don't think that knowledge is power. I think knowledge is knowledge, but it becomes powerful when you know how to apply it. On today's episode, I have brought to you my friend, a technology innovator, Leslie. He is also known as Chenge Ngoshi. We talk about entrepreneurship, how it's different to be an entrepreneur in his home country Zimbabwe and Europe, power of mindset, and why does he constantly challenge himself to become better. Chenge likes to look at technology and the way it solves problems. We talked about the whole process of entrepreneurship, and I really liked what he said about obstacles on the way. And the biggest obstacle in anything is yourself. If you doubt what you want to do, if you are not sure, and you talk yourself out of doing anything, that could be the biggest obstacle. And not only in entrepreneurship, it really applies in any area of our life. He also reminded me an essential truth. To be grateful for who you are and for simple fact that you exist. Wow, I find it so powerful. And now let me introduce you to my friend Chenge Ngoshi.
Do you think it's easier here in Europe to be an entrepreneur than being an entrepreneur back at home?
No, I would say it's the same really, because no matter where you are, there's something that needs to be solved. There's a problem that needs to be solved. There's an opportunity that needs to be either accepted into your life or looked deeper into. So in Zimbabwe, yes, there may be more opportunities, but at the same time, it's difficult to get something started there. Whereas here, there are fewer opportunities, but it's easier to get stuff started. So no matter where you are, there's always something for you to look into and then pick up. Yeah.
So what is one thing that you find as an obstacle in any place you are when you're starting?
For me, I've realized that the biggest obstacle in anything is yourself. If you doubt what you want to do, if you're not sure, and you talk yourself out of doing anything, that could be the biggest obstacle. Once you get over that hurdle of you wanting to talk yourself out of something and get confident enough to say, I want to try and fix that, I want to try and do that. No one's ever succeeded, but I want to be the one who succeeds in that. Then you've overcome the biggest obstacle there is. After your mind, after you've convinced yourself that it can be done, there's really nothing you can't overcome or understand enough to overcome.
What do you do to make sure you have a strong mindset and willingness?
Well, that's a big question. It's a large question to look at, but it does have to do with your mindset. I think you have to look at yourself and see what your strengths are. You have to understand yourself enough to know that this is what I'm good at. When you understand what you're good at, you know where you need support. So if you know that you are good at coming up with ideas, with the planning stage, with the development stage, you might need to find someone who can do the implementation with you. Or the opposite, if you're good at coming up with ideas and getting them to the implementation stage, you might need to find someone who can assist you with the administration, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So first, I would say it's knowing who you are, what your strengths are, and being real with yourself that you can't do everything. And then once you understand who you are, the support you need, you know exactly where to get it and who to get it from. And then, yeah, the mindset of it all. Sorry. You need that mindset because usually what I do is solving problems, right? Mm-hmm. It's either been done and failed or no one has attempted to do it. So when I get into it, I have to have the mindset that I can do it. Mm-hmm. I have to understand that this is something difficult, but I have that confidence, I have that capacity and that willingness to look into it. And I'm willing to keep going until it's done.
What exactly is your area of entrepreneurship?
Oh, like I said, I look into technological innovation, especially in the technology space. It doesn't matter what sector. Usually, my background is in doing research in those sectors. So whether it's agriculture, it's sustainable energy, it's applications. So my role is usually to come up with solutions. Who identify solution providers and try and tailor those solutions to my clients' needs.
But they come to you with the problem?
They usually come to me with the problem.
All right.
When I look at the entrepreneurship side, I'm identifying problems mm-hmm. and trying to fix those problems. I can't really get into exactly what I do because there are some NDAs that are involved, and these projects aren't exactly to the public yet. When you are starting up with these things, you don't want to share these ideas because you don't want people to jump in them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the stuff I'm involved in generally comes into solving technological problems, which you may not see today, but they're already becoming problems and they will be emerging in the next 2-3 years. So if you look at Zimbabwe, for example, right now we're working on I'm working on a currency provision platform that would allow people to trade in a country where foreign currency is hard to come by. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to find a solution for that, to be able to trade, to import, export with the currency that they have, and find a way around that. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's about as deep as I get into it.
How you do things, like you said, the biggest obstacle is you. That therefore, it's very interesting to me also, how do people like you, strong-willed people who have their goal, because without a goal, without a vision, you cannot achieve things, just dreaming about them. What's your why in doing these things?
I'm not sure I understand the question. The why do I do it?
Yeah.
What drives me to do it?
What drives you, and what is the reason? Like,
man, it's something that's inside you, you know? For me, it's always been there. It's always been an itch. Whether it's the first computer I ever got, I would take it apart, put it back together again, wanting to understand how it works. I'm wondering why they couldn't build this better or do it this way. So for me, it's always been a part of my body, my system, my mind. And as I've gotten older, I've just been lucky that whichever job I do or whichever company I work for, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for someone who is a critical thinker, who can break stuff down. And in the personal capacity, I love what you're saying, that some people just dream. Well, I dream. Mm-hmm. You know, that for me is a big thing. Whether you're dreaming or meditating or getting into that state of mind that allows you to accept new ideas, the key is, when you accept those new ideas into your mind, do you understand them enough when you are not dreaming to say, this is a possible solution, or this is what I want to do? And then when you realize that this is what you want to do, or this is your solution, do you have the capacity to chase it? So for me, I will visualize something. This is what I'm going to do. And then I allow myself to just see ideas, to accept ideas, have conversations, pick up knowledge wherever knowledge is available. They say that knowledge is power. I don't think that knowledge is power. I think knowledge is knowledge, but it becomes powerful when you know when to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about picking up these ideas and keeping your mind open, listening. And when you've picked up these ideas and you have a solution in mind, then having the focus to chase that solution and look into that solution and bring it to bear against what you're trying to develop.
In this process of start dreaming, then tackling that one thing that you think you can do, and putting it as a plan for yourself, which is the most challenging part for you, and how do you overcome it?
The most challenging part for me, the dreaming, the meditation, the chasing the solution, is the most exciting part.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find it doesn't matter what you do, whether you are in IT, in finance, planning is always fun because you bring in all these different ideas. The second stage is actually finding an idea and then believing in that idea to follow it. I think one of the steps in decision making or finding a solution is focusing on the one solution that you feel might be the one. And once you have the solution, it's now believing that this solution is going to get us where we need to be, and then building on that. That's when things become very difficult, because all of a sudden you have what you want to do. Now you've figured out how you're going to do it. And that is always difficult, because that's when you'll look up that problem and you'll find that someone else has tried to do it this way, someone's tried to do it that way. So you have to have just the confidence in yourself to say, no matter what, this is going to work. We need to do A, B, and C. So that part where you're now implementing the solution or building that solution, that is always the hardest part. That is always where you will find the most resistance, the most trouble. But with what I like to do, before I even begin the solution stage, I like to just take my time in that stage where we've got all these ideas and then we focused into one. I normally don't focus on one solution. I usually run with two solutions because I found at times that as you get deeper into that, those two solutions, they begin to meld together. Sometimes there's not one solution like people have done in the past. Sometimes there are two solutions. So I like to work with my mind open to two possible scenarios. And that's what I guess makes me different from a lot of decision makers because they usually focus on one. And that usually gets us out on the other side. Okay.
So it seems like you have to have really a focused mind when once you understood how and what you want to do. And what would be your three tips to share with audience to keep this focused mind? Because when challenges come, we tend to either give up or stop believing in ourselves and just, maybe it's not for me, kind of a thought.
The first one would be right away, stay away from two kinds of people. People who are always agreeing with what you want to do. And then people who are absolutely critical of what you want to do. The people you want to have around you are curious people, people who want to explore. So especially in the beginning, when you're bringing up your idea, you want people who ask questions, right? You want people who say, why hasn't this been done? And then you also want people who just don't say, this can be done. You know, you want people who ask questions. So that's the first thing, first tip I'd give. The second tip I'd give is accept the doubt. You're going to doubt yourself. I doubt myself all the time, but I think that is the voice in yourself speaking on behalf of everybody. You're echoing what you've heard, what you've seen, that can I really do this? You can do it. The fact that you are trying is already proof that there is something you can do about it. And then the third tip, I think I've actually got four tips.
Okay.
The third tip is, you may fail, but don't worry about that. Because in failing, it's possible that you're going to understand that problem in such a way that the next problem that comes along is going to be a lot easier to solve. So failure is not a negative. When you are trying things that have never been done, failure is actually part of the solution. And I know that sounds the exact opposite of what I've been saying, that you have to get it done. But I'll be lying if I say failure is not an option. No, failure is a solution because you are trying something and there is a possibility that it will not work. Mm-hmm. But while you are in it, which is the fourth tip, do not lose that focus. Put everything you can into finding that solution. And that's, I guess, the four tips that I have.
I loved all of them. But the most that kind of resonated to me was tip number two, when you said that when you doubt yourself, it's those beliefs and influence of social environment that we have around us. And also it's connected to the first tip, because when you surround yourself with the people who don't believe you, then you have this kind of self-talk as well. So that's very, very interesting, because when we understand that everything that our mind tells us is not truth, then probably it's easier to move on. And
there are different kinds of things that come up when you want to either go by something and solve it yourself, or solve something that's never been done. No one will understand. I can tell you that right away. No one really understands what goes through the mind of an entrepreneur or an innovator or a visionary, right? No one understands, because it's your vision, it's your dream, it's what you are seeing. Now, what really good innovators will do, which is what I don't do actually, is that they can pull people together and go with them on that journey and come out on the other side. Whereas I'm more of an insular person. I keep things to myself. I like to get a clear picture of where I want to go. And I travel that journey until I get to a point where I need people to come in. I'm not one of those people who bring in people right away and say, hey, let's do this. I don't try to convince people. In fact, if I can't convince you, I go around you. And if you are in my way, I go over you to get where I need to be. It's almost as though I'm a sociopath or a psychopath when I'm chasing that answer, that goal, only when I know what stage I'm in. When I was saying that you need to understand what your strengths are, So I know my strength is finding the solution, finding the answers, and I know it can be done. The rest of the effort is avoiding these challenges that come along the way. And only when you're at that stage where you know yourself that I need to bring people in, I need to start bringing people in to get this done, that's where I start bringing the world in. So I know where I want to end up, and I know where I am. I know who I am. All I need to figure out is how to get there.
And how to find those people who will go with you?
Finding people who want to go with you depends on the problem, right? For example, if I want to build an app, it's not that difficult to link up with people who build an app, especially here in Europe. When you find someone who builds an app, you come across challenges such as they might want to get paid, or they don't believe in the vision enough to do it for free or join you with it. But you then need to come across either having begun the work to such an extent that they understand what you're trying to do. So I find when you can't find anyone to join your cause, you haven't gotten it to a point where the world can understand it enough to get on board.
Very good point.
A lot of people, a lot of great entrepreneurs were able to make people believe straight away. I guess my psychological makeup is not like that. So my secret is to build things until they're undeniable and say, okay, this is going to work. We need to get on and we need to fix it.
I like this point of not trying to prove anything to anyone, but showing them that...
You have to at least get something to what they call MVP before you actually start bringing some people in. And a good idea will always be a good idea, you know? The only thing that might bring it back is time. Sometimes it matters who does it first, but a good idea is always a good idea. So if I have an idea, I take my time building it, I take my time getting there. And then when the time comes and it's ready, I start to bring the people in who need to do it. Yeah.
It seems to me that you know yourself really well. You know your strength. And this is one of the points of successful person, I think, because you know your strength. You know when you need help, when you realize that it's not your capacity anymore. For one to know oneself, you need time with yourself. You need this silent moment. Because when we are constantly surrounded by people, by the noise, we don't have to really listen to ourselves. And you said you meditate. What else do you do to kind of get into this inner you and discover, rediscover yourself?
I know a lot of people might not agree with this in the space that we're in. A lot of people that I do meet don't believe in it. But you need to touch base with God. You need to check in with God always. Say, God, you know, I'm still here. I'm still functioning. Thank you. So the first step for me is being grateful for everything that you have. Then the second is definitely you need to spend time for yourself. Now, as you know, I just had the son married, so it's all new for me. You know, before I had freedom, I had that ability to give it all up if I wanted to, but now it's a little bit different. So I'm in an adjustment season in my life right now where I don't have as much time as I would like to, but I always try to walk. That's for me the best sort of both meditative state and relaxing state I can find. So I like to just go for walks. I don't know where I'm going to go, where I'm going to end up. I love that Europe is safe. It doesn't matter what time of day you want to walk, you can just walk. And when I'm walking, each step is sort of visualizing what I want to do, and it has no limits. You know, as I'm walking, I don't let myself have any limits. I use that time to imagine where I want to be, and sometimes I live that life in my mind. This is the life I want. And then I go backwards from there and imagine what do I need to do to get there. Mm-hmm. So that is always for me reinforcing what I want to do, you know. The meditation, like I said, is now part of the walks because I just don't have the time. The other thing that I do is I read a lot. I look at a lot of information. Whenever I have free time, I have documents open. I'm going through white papers. I'm looking at everything related to my field because you never know where that answer is going to come from one day. You might be with a client one day and an article you read 6 months ago just pops into the mind that they didn't know about, that no one asked you about, but because you came across it, I'm always looking at that. And also, I think if you are an innovator or someone who solves problems, you need to also know what's going to happen 5-10 years from now. So you also need to read those scientific journals, just be interested in things that are currently in development 4-10 years from now. So that's usually what I do to keep in a mental state. I open my mind to new information or new knowledge, let's call it knowledge, and then I open my mind to seeing the future. So it's almost like I live my life every day. I go forward into time to where I want to be and move back.
And has it worked for you? Like, if you look at yourself a few years ago, are you where you wanted to be, let's say, I don't know, a couple of years ago?
No, it's strange. I didn't anticipate changing situations.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite the strangest thing. And I have to say, when it first happened, it was a shock to the system, right? You're usually highly motivated. You really know what you want to do. But when you find that your plan is not going to happen the way you've planned it, if you're a person who can move things around quickly, if you can solve that in a problem. But where it was my situation, I found that I was stuck. You know, this is going to be my new reality.
Like, you mean now moving from Zimbabwe to Europe?
Here, yeah, mm-hmm. Because when I moved here, it was in the middle of a big change already. Mm-hmm. I was already working on building something big. And moving here meant almost starting from zero. So you're in the middle of a change and you are accepting that change, but now you have to move and start again from zero. So it's that acceptance of change. I'm usually not resistant to change, but it was a change plus something else added, plus home, plus family. You know, it became a lot. Like I said, I'm usually not resistant to change. I love change. Change is always good. Change is, for me, always moving forward. Now, to get into the question, am I where I want? What am I where I saw myself? Definitely not. But even then, I don't think if I had achieved what I wanted to achieve, I would have been where I want to be. My goal is for, I would say, 5-6 years from now, I need to be now achieving my goals and getting to my goals. So this is still part of that journey. So as much as things have shifted, things have changed, I'm still on track to get where I want to be. I might need to accelerate, or I might need to cut off some of the fat to get there, but I'm still on track. So I have a comfortable life, I have a happy life. But is it the life that I'm visualizing? Not yet. Even close. Yeah.
Not yet.
Close. Yeah.
But you're going there.
Yeah, no, I have to, because I think there's a difference between happiness and success. Mm-hmm. I'm happy right now. But do I consider myself successful? Is this what I want to achieve? We're talking about the purpose earlier when we started. I feel like my purpose is tied to that success. I need to succeed for me to have the kind of peace to really enjoy my happiness. So I need to get to where I need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a journey. I need to take it. If I don't take it, like I like to think about it, when the me in the future, the me 5 years from now, meets me today, I want him to say, yeah, you did the work to get there. There have been times where I meet the future me at that time and I haven't done the work and I'm ashamed to look at myself.
Mm.
You know, I see myself and I see who I could have been. That's never a good thing to be. You need to do what you need to do today so that when you meet the person you were supposed to be, you are ready to say it's your turn now, and not for that person you were supposed to be to look at you and say, you haven't done the work, we're now stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have a responsibility to the future you. Everything else is okay. Family happiness is okay, but you have a responsibility to the future you. So right now, I'm happy, but am I successful? No. I'm looking at the person I am now, and he's the same person that was there 2-3 years ago. And that's no change.
But really, there's no change. Maybe you are too critical to yourself.
There is no change in terms of furthering where we want to go.
Mm.
In terms of, I guess, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, family, friends, all that is growing. But in terms of, have I moved forward?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get to where I want to be. I haven't really moved forward. I mean, there's a whole lot more I could have done to get where I am. But the last stretch, this last year, which is supposed to be for growth and development, not experimenting. The year before was experimenting. That was working fine. So I did what I was supposed to do. But this last guy, who was supposed to arrive in July this year, was supposed to have done so many things, and that wasn't done. So when the me, who I'm supposed to be now, came, I have to now go back and catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a sad thing. It's like you have to do work your colleague was supposed to have done already. And the last thing I want to do is have 2-3 kids in the future and still be the same person I am now. I know that will make me unhappy. I mean, that will make everything else unhappy.
I think with a mindset you have, you will never be the same person. It's my perception of you. And one thing that you've shared before, one of the tips that you have for focused mind is gratitude. And I think that's a very powerful practice to first of all see even little things in life that usually we don't even appreciate. For me, it really helps to see, especially in those days when you wake up and you think, dang, I didn't sleep well. And then you start the day already with this note of negativity. And then you say, hey, stop for a while. You have home, you have warm bed, you slept, maybe not as well as you would wished for, but you can do it better tonight. You have this many things. And then your mind is like, ah, actually, it's not so bad. So what are 3 things you are most grateful for now, even when you say you didn't succeed as much as you wanted to?
I think you hit the nail on the head, really. You're grateful for the family that you have, because without that, without them, you know, it's a big hole in your life, and that's never a good thing. I'll say the second thing that I'm grateful for is just the opportunity that I have, the opportunities that I've had, and the opportunities God continues to put in front of me. You know, it's everything has in its way informed who I am today. I'm always grateful for that. And the third thing, I would say I'm grateful just to be able to be who I am. You know, to have my health, to have my mind, to have my day. Just grateful to be the person that I am, you know, because I could be anyone else. I think that's the one thing that a lot of people forget to be grateful for. Be grateful that they exist.
Yeah, that's a very beautiful point. We don't appreciate ourselves oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate other people, other things, and we forget about ourselves. So thank you for this reminder. And really, maybe starting this day, every day, saying thank you that you carry on, because often it's not so easy to carry on.
It's never easy, but I don't think it's meant to be easy.
Who's a cool person, in your opinion?
A cool person? I don't look at it as Cool people is always changing. People are always changing. I kind of look at cool minds. What has been done, or who has done something that has changed either the world or changed minds. I think that's, for me, a lot of things that change the mind. And there are always 2 people who always come to mind. The first one is Isaac Asimov, who wrote the Foundation series. He is, just his mind has shaped, and everybody has been changed by Isaac Asimov. They might not realize it, but they have.
Mm.
And then George Orwell, the writer as well. 1984, when I read that book, I feel as though some of the things that I see and how I solve problems, how I see the future, I feel like I can relate so much to Isaac Asimov. His mindset, when he wrote that book, I can almost feel it. I can almost see myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'd like to ask you, what is one thing you'd like to be remembered for?
Wow. Oh, man. What would I like to be remembered for? Wow, you got me, Kat. I don't think I've ever had that thought of legacy or the hubris to even want to be remembered for anything in particular. But if there was one thing I'd want to be remembered for, moving forward, moving
either my family forward, moving technology forward, moving country forward, and not someone who just came and went. I don't know what that is yet, but I think that's what I'd like my son to look back and say, oh, my dad was the person who did this or brought us here, you know. So that's what I want to do. I want to contribute to something a little bit bigger than myself. Doesn't matter what it is, but...
And you never know who you influence and who you impact. You
never know.
Yeah.
100%. So. I mean, I'm from Zimbabwe. You would never have thought Isaac Asimov's work would reach me there and inspire me. So just to contribute to something bigger would be enough of a legacy.
I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you know of someone who would benefit from it, please share it with them and hit that subscribe button to never miss a new cool mind. And now, go check that person in the mirror and say thank you for who you are.